The captain is a lady. She's also the oldest serving officer in the United States Armed Forces. Her name is Grace Murray Hopper, age 76. And since we broadcast this story last March, there's been a move afoot in the Congress to have her raised in rank to Commodore. But Captain or Commodore, Grace Hopper is going as strong as ever.
If you're wondering why I kept my cap on, I have a reason for that, too. It's because this is my identifier. Now, I talk for a large number of civilian audiences. They don't always know what I am. Because I go wandering around airports and people come up to me and say, when's the next plane leave for Houston? I got totally demoted one night in San Francisco. I got off an elevator, and as I got off, I heard the woman say to her husband, what was that? And he said, that was a security guard. So then I went to Canada to speak at the University of Guelph, and I had to go through immigration at the Toronto airport. So I handed my passport to the immigration officer, and he looked at it and looked at me and said, what are you? And I said, United States Navy. He took a second real hard look at me, and then he said, you must be the oldest one they've got. So if you're sure you know what I am, I'll take my cap off. That only goes to show my white hair.
Captain Hopper is a whiz at mathematics. Some would say a genius. One of that small band of brothers and sisters who ushered in the computer revolution. In World War II, at age 37, she left her professor's job at Vassar to serve as a lieutenant in the Navy Reserve. She was sent to Harvard to help program the very first computer. It had the unglamorous name of Mark I. And as far as we've progressed since this vacuum tube monster, Captain Hopper says, we ain't seen nothing yet.
We're just getting started. We're just beginning to meet what we will be doing in the future.
You talk a lot about the computer revolution. I thought we're in it and it's over.
No, we're only at the beginning. We've been through the preliminaries.
Well, what's it going to be like?
We've got the Model T.
Just the Model T?
That's where we are now.
Captain Hopper was born about the same time as the original Model T hit the road, but her head and her heart are firmly planted in the 21st century. She's up many mornings before 5 for the ride to Washington's National Airport. 200 days a year, she lectures to computer scientists at military bases. She's also in demand on college campuses and among businessmen. The Navy's proud to show her off, one of theirs who was in at the beginning. She is more than just a superb mathematical talent. It was Grace Hopper who helped teach the machines a language, stopped them from speaking in undecipherable numbers, enabled them to speak in English or French or German or whatever language you choose. But the Navy being the Navy, there was a question of age.
Because in 46, when we were allowed to transfer to regular Navy, I was over age. I was 40 and the cutoff age was 38. That's why I always explain to everybody it's better to be told you're too old when you're 40, because then you go through the experience and it doesn't bother you again. Then I stayed in the reserves, and in 66 they retired me, December 31st, 1966, saddest day of my life. Then on 1 August 67 they recalled me to active duty.
So with all of its young wizards, the Navy still needed a Grace Hopper to standardize its computer language. The first computer Grace Hopper worked on could do 3 calculations a second. Today's computers can do thousands a second, millions a second, sped along by tiny silicon chips, educated grains of sand. And billions and trillions of calculations a second are not too far off. How do you explain that kind of speed?
They started talking about circuits that acted in nanoseconds, billionths of a second. Well, I didn't know what a billion was. I don't think most of those men downtown know what a billion is either. And if you don't know what a billion is, how on earth do you know what a billionth is? I fussed and fumed. Finally, one morning, in total desperation, I called over to the engineering building, and I said, please cut off a nanosecond and send it over to me. And I brought you some today. Now, what I wanted when I asked for a nanosecond was, I wanted a piece of wire which would represent the maximum distance that electricity could travel in a billionth of a second. Now, of course, it wouldn't really be through wire. It'd be out in space, the velocity of light. So if you start with the velocity of light and use your friendly computer, you'll discover that a nanosecond is 11.8 inches long, the maximum limiting distance that electricity can travel in a billionth of a second. Finally, at the end of about a week, I called back and said, I need something to compare this to. Could I please have a microsecond? I've only got one microsecond, so I can't give you each one. Here's a microsecond. 984 feet. I sometimes think we ought to hang one over every programmer's desk or around their neck so they know what they're throwing away when they throw away microseconds. Now, I hope you'll all get your nanoseconds. They're absolutely marvelous for explaining to wives and husbands and children and admirals and generals and people like that. An admiral wanted to know why it took so damn long to send a message via satellite. And I had thought that between here and the satellite, there were a very large number of nanoseconds. You can explain these things. It's really very helpful, so be sure to get your nanoseconds.
Grace Hopper is at the center of a revolution that is changing life as we know it. It tells the Navy how many tons of baked beans it has on hand. It targets its missiles. A revolution that can free human hands and that can solve, at least on paper, human problems in seconds where it used to take years. How can laymen understand this stuff? Is it really necessary to understand this technologic? Do we place too much trust in it, allow it to run our lives? Or is knowing how to use it understanding enough?
People are scared of computers just as I can remember. There were people who were scared to death of telephones. There were people who thought gas light was safe, but electric light wasn't very safe. We've always gone through this with every change.
You wrote something somewhere. You don't do anything in the Navy without a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. They all come out of computers. Same thing's true of your big companies. If those computers stopped, this whole country would come to a screeching halt. If that's true, so much better. How come to so many people, life seems to have soured?
I don't know where they got the wrong attitude. Because to me, it's more exciting and more thrilling. I think it depends on the person and what they've learned to want. Now, for instance, I don't want a bigger house because I'm too small to live in a bigger house. There's no use buying any more food. I can only eat a certain amount. I don't need a mink coat. I bought a nice little stole when I was up in Alaska, cheap. I don't need a yacht. I had a sail canoe all the time I was growing up. It's in people's attitude. If they keep wanting more and don't get it, they're probably going to be unhappy.
You don't have an ounce of nostalgia in you, do you?
No. I'm having a wonderful time. I'm very fortunate.
Grace Hopper's roots go back before the American Revolution, before the old Washington Navy Yard existed. The family tree has produced a sprinkling of engineers, bridge builders, and bankers. But she is a self-made woman, an example for young people who, in her words, want to serve their country as opposed to seeking a career in the services. She is for women, but not necessarily a feminist.
Do you think that women should be allowed to go on combat duty?
I don't see why they should. If I were a man in the Army or the Marines, for instance, and I knew that I had a couple of women either side of me, I sure wouldn't trust either of them.
Why not?
I'm not sure that they could stand up to it.
This is heresy that you're...
That's all right. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
But if a woman wants to pursue mathematics in the Navy, it's a different story, correct?
Mm-hmm. Because women have always done mathematics since the days of the Greeks.
You think they're better than men at mathematics?
No, just the same.
You wrote that somewhere along the line we lost our guts.
No, we lost our leadership.
You said guts.
Well, maybe I said guts, but I think I really meant leadership, because back in the old days when I went into the Navy, one of the first things we learned was the qualities of leadership. It was a two-way street. It was loyalty up and loyalty down. Respect for your superior, keep him informed of what you're up to, and take care of your crew. And that's what we lost somewhere. And I think if I had a Marine here beside me, what that Marine would say would be, when the going gets rough, you cannot manage a man into combat. You must lead him. And I think he would further add, you manage things, you lead people. And I think we failed to accept that responsibility.
You think that's true of the armed services?
We did, yes.
Business?
Yes.
politics?
Yes. We've got to bring it back.
Why did this happen? Why were we, if you're correct, why and how were we suckered into believing in this management?
I think it was largely this tremendous push to financial management. The business schools taught it. It spread through the colleges. The whole thing was management, not leadership. We had courses in business management, and it didn't emphasize leadership. I think that was what was missing. We forgot that no matter what you've got or what you're doing, you have to do it with people.
You keep telling young people, when in doubt, don't ask, just do.
Mm-hmm. I tell them it's much easier to apologize sometimes than it is to get permission. Well, it's true. You do it, and they come after you. Oh, gee, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that.
But you can get into trouble.
Oh, you can always turn helpless. You have to be a little bit of an actress, but you might get into trouble. But the risk, big rewards go to the people that take the big risks. I also give them a good motto. A ship in port is safe, but that is not what ships are built for.
At 76, Captain Hopper serves at the discretion of a Navy board which has to decide year by year whether she should be reappointed. She is in a chain of command that runs from the Commander-in-Chief to the Secretary of Defense to the Secretary of the Navy, across to the lone woman whose picture is the only one in black and white, because she's still looking for a good color photo of herself.
If you'd gone into private industry, you'd probably be a very rich person.
I've already received the highest award I'll ever receive, no matter how long I live, no matter how many more jobs I may have. And that has been the privilege and the responsibility of serving very proudly in the United States Navy.
Are you glad it was the Navy, not the Army or the Air Force?
Well, it had to be the Navy because my great-grandfather was a rear admiral. Besides which, I like blue.
She will continue to wear blue for at least the next 2 years. Captain Hopper has been extended until 1985. She has many, many more nanoseconds to give to her country.